ideas of what to preach on Commitment Sunday 2024. The Bible's crammed full of texts on commitment, the covenantal relationship with God made with his people, a promise that humanity kept failing to keep and God remained faithful with. There's texts about commitment to church, about the support we are to offer to each other, about commitment to prayer, to fasting, to meeting together, commitment as disciples or apprentices of Jesus to take up our cross and follow him, commitment to a life of service, spending time, money, energy, demonstrating our duty with the way we give. So I phoned Helen and went, I've got all these ideas going around in my head. Come and help me. I need a sounding board. And I really felt that what God wanted us to think about this morning as a group of believers doing our best to follow Jesus. We don't always get it right. That's okay. But in 2024, to commit to reframing our lives by opening ourselves up to God's Spirit. Not simply deciding this year I'm going to give more time and energy, I'm going to volunteer here, or I'm going to increase my giving, or I'm going to, you know, do X, Y, or Z, but total and fresh commitment to the ongoing process, and it is a process, of becoming increasingly Christ-like, having the mind of Christ by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I guess if we have the mind of Christ, then all those other things will naturally follow. So what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? The Message paraphrase of 2 Corinthians 3:16 says, of followers of Jesus, and so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. Isn't that lovely? That's why I like the Message paraphrase. Our lives becoming brighter and more beautiful. In Acts 9, the scales, you'll remember, fell from the Apostle Paul's eyes, and his whole frame of reference changed. His paradigm shifted when he realised that rather than persecuting Jesus, Jesus was God in human form. He saw life through a new reality, new dimensions of understanding, new ways of understanding relationships, new values, new ways of understanding himself, far beyond the prevailing customs that his worldview had put a frame around. And in scripture, these moments are called kairos moments. You've probably heard that word before, kairos moments. It's a time saturated with God when his spirit calls people to account, to repentance, and importantly, to change. And in Mark 1:15, we read the time, and that's that word kairos, the time has come. Jesus said, repent and believe the good news. But you know, I like to look at the translations of things. Repent is actually only part of the meaning. I mean, so many of us will know that verse, repent and believe. Now, repent comes from the Greek word metanoia. Now, meta, we know that word, don't we? It's a kind of an overarching frame of reference. It's the lens through which we view the world. Like, metaphysics is beyond physics, like metaverse. Or metamorphosis, to change into something different. And the noia part of metanoia refers to how we think. So metanoia is a radical change of mind. It's a change in our assumptions and our outlook and our values and our practices. It's a change in our frame of reference. So Jesus is saying, the time has come. Change, change and believe in the good news. That's Romans 12, verse 2, isn't it? I don't know if that came to mind to you. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When St. Jerome translated this word, metanoia, into repent in the 4th century, it kind of reduced the meaning. You know, following Jesus is not just a simple prayer of repentance or penance. That's not what following Jesus is about. I guess there's some clarity in the word repent. You can say you're sorry. You know you've done it. You've ticked that box. But then, like my mum used to say, it's no good saying sorry, Elizabeth, if you carry on doing exactly the same thing. You don't mean it. Yeah, she probably did say it in that tone of voice as well. Sorry, mum. Metanoia is not simply a negative thing. It's not simply repenting and turning away. It also means a positive thing, turning towards something as well. It's not a once-in-a-lifetime prayer of commitment, tick, I'm in. It's commitment to changing continually. And let's be honest, that's not easy, and it's not always feels particularly safe, does it, Sheila, when you're stepping out onto the waters? That's a good song, Helen. We prefer to cling to old wineskins. Yet Jesus calls us to change and believe. You can't just change once. It's a continual thing. To reframe our attitudes, to be increasingly more Christ-like. And again, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew words that are often translated as repent are to turn. They really mean to turn, to reorientate, to return, to change your perspective or transform. And I guess we need to do it continually because God knows. God knows us. He knows we muck up. We get distracted. We lose our oomph. Sometimes deliberately, sometimes unintentionally. So it needs to be a continuous decision to reframe our attitudes. There's always more to learn. And in our reading, in that really difficult reading, Paul was showing the Corinthians that worldly wisdom doesn't cut it. The Romans, for all we say about the Romans, they were a sophisticated government. They were good rulers, as was the Jewish religion. It was well formed, yet neither the Romans nor the Jews could understand the wisdom of God in sending his son to die. No amount of clever rhetoric and articulate speech was wisdom, and that's what was prized in the day, the great orators who would give these speeches. Paul's saying, that's not wisdom. Godly wisdom is a gift. It's given through the Holy Spirit. And I was chatting to someone this week who explained how they used to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. As they grew up, the term Holy Ghost was used, and that is, you know, understandably scary. I'm not sure if Spirit is that much more helpful. And yet, we know that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control. They're beautiful things. That's nothing to be scared of. As Galatians says, there is no law against such things. It's seeing the world around us with new eyes, with fresh beauty, that abundant life that Jesus offers us. Maybe it's that thought that comes into your head to give somebody a phone call, and that is the Spirit speaking to you, or to prompt you to do something. The Spirit, and some people would use a feminine pronoun for the Spirit, others a male. The Spirit is, after all, Spirit. The Spirit is always loving, always points us to the things of Jesus. Always good. I guess the unknown can be a bit scary. But the Spirit is always good. We can be confident of that. And I guess if we think, oh, that person's name keeps coming into my mind, is that the Spirit? Is not that the Spirit? Well, go for it. I mean, no harm done if it's not the Spirit. But we don't learn to discern unless we do those things where we feel we're being prompted. As I say, it's always good, so you're not going to do any harm. Just try. For Paul, to be mature wasn't about obtaining knowledge, but it was about pressing on. You know, we're not ever going to arrive. We need to continue allowing the Spirit to transform us. It's process, not product. I've got a theology degree, and that has given me a seed of understanding. I think all it really taught me was how little I know. but it can never give me the mind of Christ. That is through the Holy Spirit. The Christian philosopher James K.O. Smith says, the church has been obsessed with information, not transformation. You know, that's why we do a little bit less of this with me standing here spouting on at you. And a bit more of things like Nourish, where we sit in silence and allow God's Spirit to speak to us, to transform us. Jesus invites us to metanoia, to reorientate, to reframe our whole being around the reality of God. Our commitments are reordered, and we are just awakened to the wonder in his world. And Paul encourages the Philippians to continue to work out your salvation. Have we settled for a once in a lifetime moment, or have we settled for a lifetime of transformation? Eugene Peterson, in his book, he's the guy that translated the Message paraphrase, he calls it a long obedience in the same direction, the title of his book. Have you ever had a painting or something on your wall reframed? I know I've done it in the past, and perhaps given it a different size mount, a bigger mount, and all of a sudden it's something more spectacular and special. As an artist, I've used in the past two pieces of card. I don't know if I'm looking at Rose. Do you ever use two pieces like this, Rose, to get the frame? Yes. You're right, you can. You can make it bigger or smaller. You can make it different sizes or shapes. You just move those around. I should have done it on card, not paper. You move those around to get the right reframing, to get the view that you want. And I just wonder, I don't know if anybody has written down what is important to them. I wonder if we actually, I won't use scissors, if we actually need to do that, if we need to break our frames apart, and actually to reorientate our frame and to change our view a little so that we have the mind of Christ. At the end of Luke 9, Jesus warns of the cost of being a disciple. You can't be lukewarm and you can't be in two minds. Verse 61 says, then another said, I'm ready to follow you, Master, but first excuse me while I get things straightened out at home. This is the Message again, which you'll realise. Jesus said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. God's kingdom is coming. Do we want to be part of it? And in Philippians 3, those famous words, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Maturity is perseverance. So there are many ways that we can be committed to God, to each other, to Light of Life in 2024, and I hope that is your desire. Not simply to pray more fervently, or to increase your financial giving, or to volunteer for Alpha, although we do need all of those things. But our priority should be in allowing God's Spirit to transform us, to reorientate and reframe our lives. And I can't tell you specifically what that is going to look like. And the unknown is scary. It's human tendency to want to plan, make things small and controllable. Allowing the Holy Spirit will not do that. That's going to make the frame bigger. That's going to change it all. But it will mean we open ourselves up to new and exciting possibilities. In our reading, Paul began by saying he wouldn't use the clever reasoning and eloquent words so prized in his day. Rather, he came in weakness. He simply came with the message that Jesus Christ, God in flesh has identified with humanity through his death and resurrection. And he calls us to reframe our thinking. And I come to you today in the same vulnerability. I'm not handing out a plan for 2024 and saying, will you sign up to this? I come to you saying, I don't know what God's Spirit wants to do amongst us this year. I know it's going to be good. Might be scary too, but it's going to be good. And we need the Holy Spirit to be able to do this. Got a picture I took a couple of weeks ago. It's one of our number taking a swim in the sea. Yes, Hannah, it's amazing. Please, at the end of the service, don't all go and tell Hannah it's amazing. Think about the Holy Spirit and how you want to be filled, all right? This was Hannah and a friend taking a dip in the sea a couple of weeks ago. Didn't ask you, did I? I'm normally really good at asking people before I do that. I'm really sorry. All I want to ask you is, will you remain on the sidelines and watch while others take the plunge? That's the wrong answer, Helen. Or will you step out into the waters of God's Spirit and find new energy and refreshment in 2024? Amen.